Okay. Well, welcome. Glad to see y'all here. Usually there's some kind of drop off after the first big small group. Like we see like less people come to the second one. And I don't really think that's the case. There's still a lot of us. So we're really thankful that you guys would take time out of your week to come. We are going to be building off of what we were talking about 2 weeks ago. So we are going to be in Colossians 4. 2 through 6, which is our theme passage for Big Small Group this summer. So if you want to go ahead and turn there, and while you're turning there, I'm going to open us up in prayer and ask the Lord to bless our time together. Lord, we just want to magnify you tonight. We want to make much of you. We want you to get all the honor, all the glory, all the praise from everything that we do, from everything that we say. I pray that as we dig into your word and look at closer how we can be people that are on mission, that are seeking to show your love to others, seeking to share the mystery of the gospel with others, that we would just be really open to what you are going to do. If I say or do anything that is not of you tonight, I pray that you would just block up the ears of the people here. They would not hear it, Lord. But I do pray you would just guide me as we walk through these passages of Scripture. Jesus, thank you for who you are. I pray that you just be with us now. In your name I pray. Amen. So you have a handout, which I'm going to try to do a little bit of a better job this week at telling you what to fill in. But I also have a pretty extensive section for you to just fill out with notes of your own if you would like to. We are building off of last week, or 2 weeks ago, where we talked about these first two ideas that we see in Colossians 4, 2 through 6, namely pray, being prayerful and being watchful, these two things that we saw in the first week that we started going through Colossians. So I'm going to review those really quickly before we dive into the next, the last two that we're going to cover. But I would encourage you, especially around your table tonight, if you weren't here last time or you have some questions about that, to ask. Just ask, hey, tell me a little bit about what we talked about last time. Because I think it is important to kind of get this idea, because one of the things we did talk about is how prayer, as we see prayer in Colossians, continue steadfastly in prayer. We see prayer as being this steadfast foundation for everything that we do. And so that's what we talked about last week, is that prayer should be a constant denominator for everything that we do in life. And it is to be prayer that's watchful, it's literally awake, it's expectant, it's focused. It's not prayer that we can just maybe fall asleep while we're trying to pray. It's also thankful, which we understand that thankful prayer is this antidote to having like the self-focused life. So we understand that prayer is to be steadfast, it's to be watchful, it's to be thankful. And we expounded a little bit on the idea of watchfulness, where we read in, still in verse 2, that we're to be watchful in prayer with thanksgiving. And so we asked, okay, so what are we supposed to watch for? So we see that God is going to open doors for the word to be proclaimed in our lives. We want to be watching for that. We want to be watching for opportunities to engage with outsiders as God provides them. So we saw those aspects of what it means to watch. So we're steadfast in prayer and we're watchful in it with thanksgiving. So as we continue reading in verse 3, it says, "At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each person." So we're going to walk through a little bit more of this passage tonight as we move on to these second two ideas that we see, main ideas that we see in this passage. So we talked about pray and watch is the first two, and then the second two are going to be declare and live, or walk. There's this idea of a passage of time here. So when you're walking, obviously time is passing as you move from point A to point B. So as we see in verse 5, it says, walk in wisdom towards outsiders. There's this idea of we are living in a way that is wise and as we're going through our lives. So we see those two ideas that we're going to expound on tonight. So the first one we're going to talk about here is declare. The quote that came to mind as soon as I started preparing for this is something that I've seen multiple times. You've probably heard it if you've been around church. It's attributed to Saint Francis of Assisi, which is how you say it. That's not how I pronounced that place when I very first read it. So I looked it up. How do you pronounce that? Because I didn't want to get fired. So Saint Francis of Assisi says, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. This quote came to mind immediately, because I think there is some legitimacy to that. Because we recognize that there are times when we as believers, as followers of Christ, because we're imperfect, don't live out our faith in the way that we should. I went where I went to school. One of my sisters worked as a waitress in a couple of different local restaurants. I had a bunch of friends that did the same. And whenever they would be asked, like, what is the worst time to work? They would always say Sunday after church. It is awful. Not just because it's busy. People don't tip well. People are rude. They're mean. They're inconsiderate. Sometimes they'll dine and dash. And we understand that a lot of that is just because there's the volume of people that are coming in. But we also understand that when somebody obviously is showing up from church, and then they are going to be rude or mean or not tip well to their wait staff, the people in food service, it sends a certain message that they're not living in a way that is honoring to Christ and showing him, making much of him in the world. I remember one of the first jobs I had as an intern when I was about 16 or 17 working at a ministry. I was in the IT department doing web development and web design. I've forgotten conveniently all of that since then. I don't know anything about it. But I remember my supervisor calling up one of our hosting services or somebody, and something had gone wrong. And I remember him just laying into this person at the other end of the line, using words like demand and all of these things, just being really, really cruel and mean to this person at the other end of the line, hang up the phone and saying, that's how you got to deal with these people. You got to demand to get what you want or you're not going to get what you want. And I remember thinking, Christian is in the name of our ministry. And when this person sees who's calling and sees how they're speaking to, how they're being spoken to, man, what kind of message does that send? So I think that we can humbly admit that there are many times where we as believers don't act in line with Scripture. We read in 1 Peter 2, 11 through 12, it says, beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God in the day of visitation. And then Jesus says in Matthew 5, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? You're no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So we want to follow what Jesus has said. We want to be a light towards other people. We want to practice what we preach. But the danger in a quote like this, saying preach the gospel at all times and when necessary use words, is that it's very easily can become a cop-out for us. So I would amend this. I'd say preach the gospel at all times and use words because they are necessary. It's not enough to just be known as a nice person. Like, you can be known as a nice person, but that is not going to ultimately save anyone. That's not declaring the good news of Jesus to just be somebody that's nice. If that's how you're known, we are twisting this idea that is revealed in this quote of that, yes, we should be a light, but we are pointing to Jesus. We're not just pointing to ourselves as being good people, being decent human beings. Because ultimately, that's a distortion of the gospel, right? Because we're not saving people. We're not trying to get people to be saved so that they can just have their lives become a little better, so that they become better people. That's not the ultimate message of the gospel. The message of the gospel is that you are depraved. You need a savior. You need Jesus. There's nothing good in and of yourself. And so you need a savior. And you need his righteousness, because your best acts, your best attempts at righteousness are filthy rags. So you're not just trying to have a life improvement program. So we see this declaring the mystery of Christ. We understand that, like we see in Romans 1:16, we're not to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we reveal this, yes, in how we act, like the grace that we can have towards people, the love that we can have towards people. But we also need to move to the point at some point where we are declaring that with our mouths, and we are speaking the truth, the mystery of Scripture, to people that we know. It's not enough just to be known as a nice person. Read it, Romans 10:13-15. I'm sorry, I only put down verse 15. How they to preach. Now, let me turn to it. I didn't copy the whole thing down. And again, like I said last week, if I go off memory, I'm probably going to say something wrong because I can't memorize anything. Okay, Romans 10:13-15 says, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And that how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. How are they to hear without someone preaching? So unless we are going to speak these good words, this good news of salvation that can be had through Jesus Christ, we may just be known as really good, nice, decent, moral people, but that's not ultimately going to save anyone. And it ultimately portrays a false gospel that's just a system for life improvement, which is not what we want. I'm going to go a step further and say that even inviting someone to church can be a cop-out. Now, I don't think you should invite people to church. That's awesome. You can invite somebody to a gathering like this. That's great as well. But sometimes we kind of act like we're just going to, as believers, we're just going to hand off someone to the pastoral staff and say, like, all right, here you go. I don't really want to talk to you about the gospel. I don't really know how to talk to you about the gospel. I don't really know how to talk to you about the scripture. So I'm just going to hopefully give them to you and you can take care of them. Or we consider inviting someone to church enough and be like, well, have you talked to them about, have you had any spiritual conversations with them, or you know, talk to them about where they are? Well, I invite them to church. Don't hear me say that you shouldn't invite someone to church, but many times the church service is going to create even more spiritual questions for them, because they're going to be singing things and hearing things that they're not going to understand as someone that doesn't know Jesus. And so it's going to create even more opportunity for conversations with them. And so if we think that we can then just be, hand them off to church and not have to have these spiritual conversations ourselves, we're deceiving ourselves. So every Christian needs to be ready to share the gospel, which is maybe a daunting task for some of us. But we read in 1 Peter 3:13-17, now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it's better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. Be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Do it with gentleness and respect. So are we ready? Because oftentimes, if we're going to act in this way, like we were talking about earlier, we're going to act in a way that is in line with the gospel, that may incite questions from some people. Like, you're doing things that don't make sense because you're acting with grace towards people. You're showing them unmerited favor as we have been shown through Christ. And so it doesn't make sense. And they may ask, and what are you going to say? What are you going to say when someone asks you why you're different? Or when you have the opportunity to bring up something, a spiritual conversation with someone, are you going to even know what to do or even know where to begin with that? So as you see in your notes under declare, the first three blanks we have here is under how. So what I'm going to do is present, I think, a very brief relational way that you can move in the direction of a spiritual conversation with someone. And I think the first one, the number one on the blank, is to simply hear their story. Hear their story. We invest in someone by hearing their story, hearing who they are, what they're about, where they come from. And it invests, we show that we are invested in them as a person and not necessarily just a project that we're trying to say. We want to hear their story. And then we want to share our story, share your story. And obviously through our story, the gospel should be intertwined through our story. Because then the third one is that we're going to share God's story and relate to that. And as we see, they can probably see some of themselves in your story. And then as you connect your story to how God has been working throughout history, ultimately, that can lead you into a spiritual conversation of being able to talk to them about how the Lord has saved you and ultimately what the gospel can mean in their lives. Now, as far as specifically, how do you share the gospel? And this is going to be one of our discussion questions. I encourage you to be honest when we talk about it. Like, would you know how to lead someone to Jesus? Let's say that you have one of these opportunities like we've talked about. You have a coffee shop you go to regularly, and one of the baristas is your friend. You talk to them, you form a relationship with them, and then maybe not get coffee because they're used to coffee, you go get water or something, and you have a conversation with them, and it moves into a spiritual, a spiritual direction to where they are asking questions. Would you know how to lead someone to Jesus? Would you know how to do that? If the answer is no, it needs to be remedied. It really needs to be remedied. And I'm not going to be able to sit here and go through. There's a bunch of different processes and ideas and things like that. We are talking about here very soon doing a couple of trainings on, we've done them in the past, about how to share Jesus with people, how to lead someone to Jesus. And I think that would be really beneficial for anybody that's nervous about that, doesn't really know how to do that. I think it would be really beneficial for you to attend one of those trainings, one of those little seminars that Jeff will run. So if you are interested, be on the lookout for that, because it is something that we want to be able to do. Because ultimately, as we point to the Lord, our hope is that they would come to a saving knowledge of Him and that the Lord could use us to have that conversation with them. So as we look at the next three blanks under guidelines, we see that as we're listening to their story, as we're sharing our story, and as we're sharing God's story, what we see in Scripture is that our speech is to be gracious, and as it says in Colossians, to be seasoned with salt. Let your speech be gracious, be seasoned with salt. And even looking back at 1 Peter, it says, do so with gentleness and respect. So the first blank there with that, our speech is to be truthful. It's to be grounded in truth. We don't make excuses for the gospel. We don't water down the gospel, but we need to learn how to be able to be truthful. And then the next blank would be to be gracious. We need to be gracious while also being truthful. We don't make excuses for the gospel. Again, we're not ashamed of the gospel, but we want to also be gracious. And then when we talk about it being seasoned with salt, we want to be interesting and engaging. We want to engage with these people and not just be like we're reciting something that we've been told. We want to make it personal, interesting, engaging to someone that we have a conversation with. We want to do these things not because we're ashamed of the truth. We want to water down the truth, not because we're ashamed of the gospel. But we do live in a culture that is very polarized and pretty obsessed with these two sides that are both like in a war to see how they can be more offensive than the other side. And it's like if we're not offending someone, if we're not being a jerk to someone, in some way we think we're doing it wrong. At least that's what our culture shows us. But as we read in Scripture, as believers, we're shown a different way. We're to be truthful, but yes, we need to be gracious. We need to be gentle. We need to be respectful of the people that we are going to be sharing with. And we also need to be interesting and engaging with them. And so this is a clear scriptural mandate that we see as we are talking about how to declare the good news of Jesus. So as we move on briefly to the second aspect that we're going to talk about tonight, living, we see walking in wisdom toward outsiders as one of the commands that we are given in Colossians. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders. So I wrote in your notes, there are three, it just says three places. So whether it's right now as I'm wrapping up, or if it's on your way to dinner or when you sit down, what I want you to do is I want you to take and think about three different places that you know that you go to regularly. It could be the grocery store. It could be a coffee shop. It could be a gym. It could be school. It could be work. Three places that you frequent that you know that you could cross that relational line really easily by just asking someone their name. Just saying, hey, my name's your name, not Matt, because that would be weird, because your name's not Matt. Hey, my name's Matt. What's your name? Or just learning a little bit more about them, engaging with somebody at one of those places, keeping appropriate boundaries in place, of course. But we want to make sure that that's something that comes out of this, is that this isn't just something that we're sitting and listening to on a couple of Wednesday nights, but there's actually some action. So if you can think of a place, two places, three places, where you can begin to put this into action and begin to engage with people with the ultimate goal of sharing with them the gospel of Jesus, and the ultimate goal of having a spiritual conversation with them as the Lord provides the opportunity, then I really encourage you to just think through that and consider where those places might be in your life. I've had a couple of ideas on my own, because I'm typically, if you know me, sometimes very, I've got my blinders on. I've offended some people, particularly at the gym sometimes, by pretending that I don't know who they are. I've not done this intentionally. I just literally haven't seen them. And so they'll come up to me and be like, do you hate me? I don't understand. You like never look at me at all. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. I've just got my blinders on. I don't see you. And I've recognized that and been convicted about that in my life in general. How much easier it is to just go through the self-checkout instead of and talk to the cashier that I know is working there basically every time that I go to Kroger. It's so much easier for me, though, just to go through the self-checkout. It's so much easier to just get my coffee and not say anything to the person besides just give them my credit card, say thank you, and then move on. It's so much easier to just not engage with someone when I see them sitting there. And this happened to me the other day. I said somebody was sitting there reading a book that I had heard of, that I thought was really interesting. It wasn't a Christian book. It's so much easier to just ignore that and just go about my way instead of saying like, hey, I've heard about that book. Is it good? Trying to engage with someone. So much easier to not cross that relational line, especially in our culture. But that's ultimately what we want to do. So we want to turn this process, as we mentioned, as we said at the very beginning, into a life rhythm as orchestrated by the Spirit. And I recognize that not all of us have the same kind of flexibility in our schedules. Some of you are saying, man, I don't have time for anything else. If you ask, you're going to ask me to add anything into my life, I'm not going to be able to do it. But we're not asking you to add anything else into your life. We're asking that as the Spirit leads you, as we see in Scripture, to adapt, and we go back to our vision, which is up at almost the top of your page, to develop or adapt these right life rhythms that we are already doing to be used as spiritual opportunities to build relationships and declare the good news of Jesus. Maybe you want to do a special thing. Maybe you want to have a beach volleyball tournament at Fox Ridge. It's just an idea. Maybe you want to start playing basketball at those new courts next to Lee every Thursday at 4:30. I don't know, something like that. Maybe that's something you want to do and start inviting people to. Maybe you want to add something else, but you don't have to. This can be something that you can already. This is something that you can already do. Everyone has the ability to fit this process into your life, and this should ultimately become a lifestyle, not something that's unusual. This should, as we continue to grow in our faith, as we continue to grow in our relationship with Jesus, this should become something that is not so foreign and odd to us that we would be able to have these conversations with people and talk to people. It should be something that is just natural. And I've met people like that, and sometimes they just wow me because they're like, they just talk to everybody, and it's just the natural, most natural thing. Not in a way of like, oh, I'm just friendly and I just want to like get to know a bunch of people, but in a way of like, they genuinely care about those people and want to get to know them. And I think that if we as a body of believers could allow this idea and allow this to saturate our minds and our hearts, and that this burden that for the lost that we're to have from Scripture really becomes a part of who we are, then we will see our daily lives as these opportunities to have these spiritual conversations, as these spiritual opportunities, and not just as one thing that we do after the other just to get from point A to point B. Ephesians 5, 15 through 17 is kind of a parallel passage in some ways to Colossians 4. It says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." The days are evil, and in some translations that kind of means short. The days are short. We don't have a whole ton of time left. Our lives, the amount of time that we have, is very limited and very short, but it can be impactful and influential for the kingdom of Jesus. And so even as busy as we may be, man, we really want for North Star to catch this vision and for this not to just be something we do for the rest of summer 2019, but something that we do for the rest of our lives. Whether you stay in Blacksburg or somewhere else, if we can allow this to become part of who we are, and if we can have our lives be covered in prayer and watchful, thankful prayer, looking for opportunities to declare the good news of Jesus and allow this to become a lifestyle, I truly believe that the Lord can use that greatly and mightily in our communities, wherever they may be. And here, wherever we happen to wind up at some point, the Lord can really use that. So you're going to have some discussion questions that you're going to go over around your table. Some of these are going to be a little practical. And in 3 weeks, we're going to have an end kind of, not banquet because it's going to be tacos, but it's still going to be, it's going to be a taco banquet. We would really love to hear some stories, even if it's just, hey, it's the biggest thing in the world for me to like actually introduce myself to someone. And I did that, and it was huge, and I really meant a lot to me, and that was a huge movement of the Lord in my life to allow me to do that. Even if it's something like that, man, we'd love to hear those stories at that point. If you do have opportunities to engage with neighbors, friends, coworkers, people that you just encounter on a day-to-day basis, we would love to hear those stories at that point. But ultimately, what we want is just for you to have your lives covered in prayer and be able to have this missional mindset that can come from the Spirit as we walk through our lives. So I'm about out of time. We're going to go ahead and get ready to eat. I'm going to pray and bless the food. And then as soon as I'm done praying, if table leaders, if you would get up and boogie first so that you can get your food and sit down. That would be great. So let me go ahead and pray now. Lord, we're so thankful and grateful for who you are. We're thankful that you have given us the opportunity to gather here together tonight. We ask that you would just bless this meal that we're about to eat and bless the time that we spend together in discussion. I do pray again that just the word that's gone out tonight will be something that is honoring to you, something that has really can impact hearts. I pray that as we are considering and thinking through our lives, our life rhythms, we can just consider how you would impact those in a way that could potentially flip really our lives upside down in terms of our impact or what we think our impact could be, Lord. I just pray that we have open hearts and open minds towards that. And I pray that as we move forward the rest of the summer and the rest of the year, rest of our lives, that we just continue to grow in this desire to make you known and to declare the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we just thank you so much for that gift of salvation, Jesus. Thank you for all the people that came tonight. Pray that you would just bless them each specifically in the ways that they need it, Lord. Make yourself real to them in their lives. We thank you for who you are. We just pray now that you would bless the rest of our time together. In your name I pray. Amen. All right, table.